I am speaking with Western Michigan University political science professor John Clark. We are discussing next year's race for governor in Michigan. Thank you very much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Right now, a lot of the attention on the Democratic side is focusing on former Congressman Mark Schauer of Battle Creek and whether or not he is going to run for governor. If Mark Schauer decides that he's going to run, what are some things that he brings to the race that Democrats may like and may lead them to believe it can be competitive and maybe even a Democratic win in November of 2014?
Well, I think in many ways, Schauer is well positioned to be the Democratic nominee, should he choose to run. He's a former member of Congress, admittedly only one term. Before that, he was the Democratic leader in the state Senate, and so was, you know, one of the leading spokespeople for the party, and served in the state House as well prior to that. And so he's got legislative experience. He's well known in Lansing, understands public policy, and has something of a network when it comes to politics in the state, and when it comes to raising money in the state.
Now, what are some things that might make it difficult for Mark Schauer to get the Democratic nomination before he'd even have a chance to challenge Rick Snyder?
Well, in some ways, we simply don't know who's likely to get in. And we've heard from at least a couple of folks that they don't intend to run for governor, folks that conceivably would be strong challengers. That includes United States Representative Gary Peters, State Senate Democratic leader Gretchen Whitmer. Those are folks that conceivably could also be considered reasonable challengers.
Although Gretchen Whitmer at least has said, she made a pretty big announcement that she doesn't plan to run.
That she doesn't plan to run. And Peters is playing his cards close to his vest at this point, but he's just been elected to a district that's a strongly Democratic district, presumably one that he could win again should he choose to run for re-election. And you know, at this point, again, it's tough to say. It's early on. Candidates don't have to make any serious commitments. But one thing, to go back to your question, that we don't know is what the field looks like and will look like. I think it also, you know, doesn't help him either in the primary or in the general election that in his most recent election he lost. It's better to be running for office when you're holding an office, all things being equal. And so, you know, there might be some folks who say, look, this is not somebody that can carry the state. He couldn't carry his congressional district. Now, you know, admittedly, that's a district that's thought of as being, at the time certainly, as being a heavily Republican district. And I don't think it's any secret that the way the district lines were drawn after the 2010 census was at least in part to get him out of that district, should he choose to run for the House again. But that's something that that could conceivably hurt him. And the other thing is, at this point, he doesn't have statewide name recognition like at least some other candidates might. Now, on the Democratic side, there aren't a lot of folks that that do have good name recognition statewide. And so in that way, maybe that's not a a fatal flaw. It also gives him the opportunity to define himself in a way that might be helpful for a candidate. But he would be an interesting choice, I think. He's got an interesting record, and at least at various times in his career was considered to be relatively moderate, at least among Democrats. And so a moderate versus moderate might be an interesting general election race.
Now, there was an editorial in the Jackson Citizen Patriot which noted some of Schauer's strengths, including that he's a tough campaigner. But they also noted that he lost many centrist voters in Congress, and they noted his votes for Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, cap and trade, and the stimulus. Might some of those votes, which often come down to having to pick one side or the other, and some of the nuance of what's in those bills gets lost, might those things be a pretty good tool for an opponent to use against Mark Schauer, especially if it's in a general election?
Certainly, although it's, you know, important to keep in mind that President Obama won re-election in Michigan, and so it isn't necessarily the case that those will be unpopular votes statewide. But it's definitely the kind of thing where, you know, when you're on the floor of any legislative body and a bill comes up for a vote, you've got to either vote for it or against it. It may not be the bill that you would prefer. It may not be the bill that you worked to get to the floor. But once you're there, you've got to vote up or down. Or I guess there are some folks, Justin Amash, sometimes, you know, takes a powder and doesn't vote one way or the other, at least early on in his first term in Congress. But for the most part, you're defined by the votes that you make, but the votes that you make are heavily constrained at the time that you make them. And so certainly that's the kind of thing that could be used against a candidate, particularly one would think in the general election. But on the other hand, there's lots of other evidence from his career that he is less liberal than at least some other Democrats who might be in the race. Now, whether that helps him in a Democratic primary is tough to say.
The Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow on the Gongwer blog recently wrote about Mark Schauer's decision about whether to run for governor and asked, if not Mr. Schauer, then who? And he notes that if Mr. Schauer passes on the race, a scramble will likely ensue, and that's when you could see some genuine anxiety among Democrats. The aforementioned people here are the possible candidates. Gretchen Whitmer, who says she's not going to run. Gary Peters, who most people think would rather keep his safe House seat and perhaps one day run for Senate whenever Carl Levin decides to retire. And someone we haven't mentioned yet, Debbie Stabenow, who keeps insisting she's not interested in running for governor. If all three of those people stay true to what they have said so far, and if Mark Schauer is not in the race, is it too early for the Democrats to worry?
Well, I did. Yes and no. I mean, I think that when it comes to this particular race, perhaps not. There are some certainly reasonable candidates that could emerge as Democratic candidates. On the other hand, I think the fact that there isn't a very deep Democratic bench suggests that on a broader level, more systemic level, the party continues to face some challenges. I mean, yes, it is the case that in presidential elections, this has been a consistently, if not safely, Democratic state for the last several election cycles. But when it comes to state politics, there simply aren't that many up-and-comer Democrats that the party can point to and say, here's the next whatever, the next governor, the next United States senator, the next member of Congress. There have been some folks like that who have been considered possibilities. But for a variety of reasons, they've lost elections, they've gone into other lines of work, or they're simply, they become less palatable to the party as a whole. And I think that ought to be, in some ways, the larger concern for the party. Now, because the Republicans had the opportunity to draw district lines, because of the fact that our executive offices are not elected in the same year as presidential elections, I mean, there are a lot of sort of built-in factors that mitigate the likelihood that Democrats would have as strong a bench as Republicans. But the fact of the matter is you got to win those elections in order to create that bench, and we just haven't seen that coming out of the Democrats in recent elections, other than the people that we've mentioned. But even some of them, Schauer, for instance, is not somebody who has consistently won and certainly isn't proven at the state level.
Should it make Democrats nervous that the perceived front runner going into this year, Gretchen Whitmer, the Senate Democratic leader, decided not to run, and that Mark Schauer, who many people would see as the next most likely person to be the Democratic nominee for governor, has not jumped in yet with both feet? Tim Skubick wrote this week questioning whether Mark Schauer really has the fire in the belly, in his words, to run. If you're a Democrat just looking at, I want Rick Snyder defeated in 2014, should it make you nervous that no one who is seen as the front runner is yet willing to throw their hat into the ring?
Well, folks haven't made public announcements necessarily, but it's awfully early still in many ways. And I would expect that any serious candidate before deciding whether or not to enter would do a lot of work behind the scenes that might not be visible in terms of lining up potential fundraisers and a donor base and a campaign staff and so on and so forth. So it isn't necessarily a problem, but it does pose an interesting question for the Democrats, and this gets back to the sort of the strength of the bench. Rick Snyder has not been especially popular as governor, although close to the end of last year, his approval rating seemed to rise in the state, only to drop like a rock in several recent polls. as a result of some of the legislation that went through in the lame duck session, including right to work, but some other things as well. A recent poll from Epic MRA suggests that his approval rating plunged from 51% at the end of November, which is not dramatically high, but it's above 50, down to 36% in their most recent survey of likely voters in the state. And, you know, that suggests that there's an opportunity there, that there's dissatisfaction with his performance as governor, and yet you can't beat somebody with nobody. And so the question is, okay, who is it that's going to enter the fray? Who is it that's going to be the Democratic nominee? And can they put together an effective campaign in order to unseat him? Now, it may well be the case that some of those folks who are, at this point at least, suggesting that they don't approve of Governor Snyder's performance might be Republicans who are still going to vote for the Republican nominee no matter who it is. But I suspect that there's also a lot of them, a lot of those folks that are dissatisfied who are either Democrats or perhaps independents who said, okay, this is the guy that's not going to be too liberal, not going to be too conservative, and yet here he pushed through some legislation that's much more divisive than unifying. So, you know, it certainly seems as though there's an opportunity there. But again, elections are, you know, candidate versus candidate. And until we know who that other candidate is, it's tough to say. And, you know, keep in mind that election, that general election is a long way off. And at this point, you know, 9-10 months is a lifetime in politics. A lot can change between now and then.
And we certainly don't know things like the economy, how that will continue to perform. If that continues to improve, that would seem to be to Governor Snyder's benefit. We also don't know for certain that Governor Snyder is going to run for re-election.
Exactly. There are an awful lot of question marks. And the economy is sort of an interesting one because on the one hand, Michigan's tide seems to rise and fall with the national tides. And so if things get better, is that because of President Obama's policies or is it because of Governor Snyder's policies? When Jennifer Granholm ran for re-election, she made a pretty strong case that Michigan's economy was better under her watch than it would have been under Republican watch, and that the reason that the economy was not doing well was because of what was coming out of the White House, the Bush administration, rather than what she was doing in Lansing. And so I think, you know, to the extent to which candidates, particularly incumbent candidates, can either take the credit for improvement or slough the blame onto somebody else, it's going to be a difficult case for a Democrat to make that whatever happens in terms of the economy is not, at least to some extent, out of the hands of the governor, the current governor. And so, you know, that'll be a difficult challenge. And if things continue to improve, I mean, we were pretty low level when Governor Snyder took office. If things continue to improve, it's going to be hard to deny that he ought to get at least some of the credit for that, even if, you know, it may very well be the case that his policies had little or no impact on that. We tend as voters to attribute things related to the economy to folks who have relatively little control over them.
The things we do know as we sit here in February of 2013 is that if Governor Snyder runs for re-election, he'll have the advantage of incumbency, which needs to be considered. Also, it is a non-presidential election year, and the Republicans will be the party not in control of the White House, which usually means that's an advantage. Usually the party that doesn't have control of the White House does well in non-presidential election years. Does that create something of a headwind that any Democrat will have to consider when they run, regardless of what Governor Snyder's approval rating may be and regardless of what some things out there may show as an opportunity for Democrats?
It certainly does. And 2010 is a really good example of that, where the Obama administration was not especially popular. And Democratic voters did not turn out in the same numbers that they had in 2008 in Michigan.
And that hurt Mark Schauer running for re-election to Congress.
It hurt him very much, and it hurt, you know, a variety of other folks across the state as well. And so the question becomes whether or not Democrats will rally around the candidates that are on the Democratic ballot for all offices, but certainly for governor. And if they do, then, you know, we would expect close races simply because Michigan has been a competitive state and will continue to be a competitive state. If those folks stay home, then it's going to be extremely difficult for anybody to dislodge any of the incumbents that are currently in office. And at the state legislative level, there are an awful lot of them, and most of them are not going to be term limited out quite yet. And so that, again, creates challenges for Democrats up and down the ticket, which in turn makes it difficult to develop a bench, which in turn makes it difficult to win the next time around.
Is it likely that Governor Snyder, regardless of who his Democratic opponent is in 2014, will the governor enjoy an immense advantage in fundraising? And could that be one thing that keeps Democrats who might be thinking about getting into this race from staying on the sidelines?
Well, I think it's certainly the case that there are relatively few folks out there who have personal pockets as deep as Rick Snyder's, and whether or not he wants to spend his own money is sort of an open question. My guess is that it will be possible for the Democratic candidate to raise money from organized labor, from, you know, a variety of the sort of the traditional sources. But I think fundraising is a big question for Democrats in the state of Michigan, and will continue to be. Does that mean there'll be enough money to run a reasonable campaign? Well, probably so. Does that mean there's enough money to unseat an incumbent? Well, that's going to be a bigger challenge, and that's always a challenge, certainly. To the extent to which the candidate, whoever the Democratic nominee is considered credible, then it increases their ability to raise money. But part of what makes them appear to be credible is whether or not they can raise money even before they get the nomination. So it certainly will be a challenge. But again, there are a lot of other challenges that are out there as well, including some of the structural components of the election that we've talked about, the fact that it's not a presidential year, the fact that you're facing an incumbent, the fact that the economy is improving at least somewhat. It's not at the point that anybody wants it to be. And so I think all of these things taken together will make it difficult for any Democrat to win, but certainly not impossible. And, you know, we don't have to go back all that many years to think about John Engler's surprising election in many ways, somebody that was not well known across the state, somebody that was considered not an especially attractive candidate in a lot of ways, but certainly a tenacious campaigner. And you know, managed to unseat an incumbent governor in his first bid for statewide office. So, you know, anything's possible at this point. And again, we're still a long way out.
Traditionally, the Democratic candidates for governor have come from the Detroit area, maybe sometimes from Lansing. Howard Wolpe was the Lansing area, and it spent a lot of time in Kalamazoo, so maybe a bit of an exception. But Mark Schauer comes from Battle Creek. Not known as one of the great political bases for either party in the state. It's a, you know, a smaller city well outside Detroit. Does that present a bit of a problem for him?
Well, I think it potentially does in a primary, depending on who else gets in the race. But I think in the general election, quite frankly, that could be an advantage. The fact that he's not as closely tied to Detroit and Detroit's problems, the east side of the state, has lots of votes, but it also has, you know, their disadvantages running statewide to being from there as well. The fact that he has won in a district that's was at the time at least a district that leaned Republican probably serves him well. But whether or not he can do that again, it's difficult to say. I mean, people sort of have made that case in the past with various candidates. But it really depends on who the candidate is, what else they bring to the table. But that at least might make it difficult to sort of tie him to some of the established Democratic constituencies in the state. And if that's the case, at the general election level, that might be seen as a plus.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, the other thing just to point out is that the congressional district where Schauer ran in some ways is a pretty good launching pad for statewide office in terms of the media markets where you might have at least a little bit of name recognition already. When that district in its previous incarnation ran from Battle Creek, which is in the sort of the media market, is the western corner, southwest corner of the state.
So you've got to buy on some Grand Rapids television stations.
Some Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo, all the way up to sort of the edge of Lansing. So you're in that market a little bit. Over to the edge of Ann Arbor, so
which is in the Detroit media.
So there's at least some advantage to that. There are an awful lot of voters in the state who are covered by those media markets. On the other hand, at this point, he's not especially well known, and so that doesn't necessarily help him tons, but it might help a little bit. Certainly, there are some other candidates from similar kinds of districts who would be advantaged in that way potentially. But again, at this point, there's still a lot that we don't know and a lot that we'll need to know before we have a better handle on both who the nominee will be and what the nominee's chances are.
John Clark, thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure.